Affairs Talk is powered by Xfinity.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome to PNC Studio, where we bring you Bears Talk. Our special guest today, Dan Pompey from The Athletic, Bleacher Report, danpompey.net, and pregame on 670 The Score. He is very busy and kind enough to join us today, my broadcast partner Tom Thayer from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. And we are ready to break things down. Five topics. We'll whip through them over the course of the next 15 minutes or so. But glad to have you.
Good to be here. Always good to be with you guys, with two of the most knowledgeable football guys I know.
Well, nobody's more knowledgeable than a Pro Football Hall of Fame writer in Dan Pompey, an honor that was bestowed on you a few years ago. And you continue to delve deeply into stories, long-form writing, which is right up your alley. You are a storyteller by nature, but you are one of the unique NFL writers and the writers in our business that knows how to tell a story through knowledge of the game. You've really picked up a lot of knowledge over the course of your 30 years in the business, and it shows in your writing. So you still love it.
I love it. I guess I've learned to fake it pretty well, and no one's caught me yet.
Yeah, whatever. He'll catch you and beat you up. He knows the game, Tom.
How do you pick your next story?
Well, it depends on who the story is for. With Bleacher Report, we often have a complex system where there's a number of people involved, an editorial board and bosses who all have to sign off on a story before you get on it. So it sometimes takes a long period of time before a story is agreed upon. Athletic, I have more freedom myself and I'm able to go for whatever story I want to do.
Tom, do you remember being interviewed by Dan back in the day?
Yes, of course.
Did he ever irritate you at any level?
Always.
Always.
You know, no. You know, I think because, you know, we are playing in a really positive environment, I think those were the topics for a majority of the time. But, we, you know, we suffered through 6-10 seasons or 5-11 season. So, you know, you had difficult interviews and questions that needed to be asked. But, you know, it just seemed like you know, you kind of always respected the person that was asking you the question and try to give them the best answer. And we weren't as monitored as people seem to be nowadays. I think we could answer things more honestly. And if Ditka didn't like what we said, he would challenge us in the locker room.
Dan, prosperity, though, also can bring negativity and tough questions.
Sure,
I'm sure there was plenty
of
those.
I'll say Tom was always very accessible to the media. You know, you could always get to him. And that was one thing that's kind of changed now, too, is players aren't accessible as they used to be. And always a good interview. A little edgy at times.
Really?
Little
I was wondering where you were going, because edgy has to be in the conversation.
Yes, but, you know, edgy is often good when you are trying to interview somebody, because you get some of those raw emotions.
Hey, my mom's 84, and she still calls me very edgy. You're right.
All right, the Giants lost a fourth-quarter opportunity with the ball in their hands to try and put the game-winning touchdown on the board. Not going to happen against the Giants' defense, but there were some very good things in the first half of that game, fellas. Second half, the shutout certainly didn't feel right.
Well, you know what frustrates me about it? Because, you know, the shutout and the second half performance. You got the Giants over there. They're talking about now they're in the playoff hunt. They're going to try to win the division. They started the game by beating the Dallas Cowboys. And the Bears took them to the fourth quarter, down to the last drive of the game. As you were broadcasting with the enthusiasm of here we are, we're going to win this football game after the big throw to Marquise Wilson. And then you get the interception, and now you have the story of the game where it's about the unsuccessful opportunity they didn't take advantage of, rather than a win that would have really created some excitement on the plane ride home.
A couple things to me stood out about that game, and really it stood out about a number of games this year. This team wears down in the fourth quarter because of the attrition, mostly, I think, due to the injuries they've had. And they don't stack up talent-wise, you know, as the game goes on. I think they could compete on kind of grit and pluck early on, but as you get into the third and fourth quarter, the team starts to wear down. And the other thing this team does is self-destructs. You know, on that potential game-winning drive, you had two penalties. You had a sack strip fumble, and then ultimately you had the interception. And you know, you can't compete with the better teams in the league by doing those kinds of things.
When you talk about margin of error being so slim, and John Fox has talked about it virtually every week, and the players regurgitate it during the course of the week over the course of interviews, man, is it thin for a team that does not have a superstar base. It has a bunch of guys trying to learn the game right now with a collection of veterans who've been there and had success in other cities. But the mix isn't quite there just yet.
Right, but you know, you got to get that mix together because you do have Akeem Hicks, Danny Trevathan, Jarrell Freeman. You have experience on the offensive side of the ball with Sitton and, you know, a crew and Jay Cutler and a crew of guys over there. So some way, shape, or form, you got to develop a good mix between the experience they have in this team to the young guys that are trying to learn a game. And we were talking about it before we got started. When Adrian Amos has an opportunity to get the interception, he's got to get it. When the young guys have the opportunity to make the plays that they're given, they got to make them. And so those are the type of strides they have to make. And sometimes you got to do it midstream because right now they are at midstream and they need to be able to be counted on like veterans.
The one good thing I think about this season so far that we could point to is the development of some of the young players, you know, and that's the most important thing this team can do at this point is develop those young guys. You look at guys like Cody Whitehair, Cam Meredith, Jordan Howard, Leonard Floyd, Eddie Goldman to an extent. You know, this is the future, and I think we've seen flashes from these guys. You know, obviously we need more consistently moving forward, but I think that's something the Bears could at least take some kind of solace in.
Topic number two is the injuries and like a bowling ball going down the lane and knocking down pins. I mean, you have 5-6 starters knocked out of one game this late in the season on top of everything else. And, oh, by the way, I have to throw in a suspension again for Jarrell Freeman now, so back-to-back week. So, I mean, no team can really afford that kind of erosion in talent.
No, absolutely not. I think, you know, you see teams for a period of time, if they've got everything in place and they've got veterans and systems that have been in place for a long time, they can overcome some injuries. The Vikings were a good example early in the season, but eventually it caught up with them. You know, the Patriots are a team that they got by without Tom Brady for a few games because they've got all these other things going right. Well, the Bears don't have that kind of established system that's going to enable them to get away with all these injuries or players being out. So it's been hard on the team. There's no question. I don't think there's any way you could really judge this team or this regime based off this season as a result of all the injuries that they've had.
You know, I think sometimes injuries, they factor in most during the week of preparation. So now you don't have the consistency of the guys being in the lineup. You get maybe Eddie Royal missing some practice time, and that affects the quarterback-receiver relationship. You got Tracy Porter who's fighting an injury, and sometimes he doesn't get all the practice time. Then you're getting ready to go face a guy like Odell Beckham. So all these injuries and the way they factor in the practice preparation, it confuses the coaches, and it really is a setback to the players in terms of conditioning and mental preparation.
Well, the secondary, which is as critical in terms of chemistry as anything, knowing each other's performance and what you're supposed to do. You get one guy back, get Callahan back, then LeBlanc goes out. You get a situation where you got a new starter in Deion Bush with Harold Jones-Korte moving into a backup role for this past week. I mean, it's been a constant change trying to get the right formula. The injuries certainly have not helped. All right, topic number three is the PED use and the policy in the league. A bunch of guys around the league this week were nailed for it. And in terms of Jarrell Freeman, a little different than Alshon Jeffrey said it was a prescription drug that he was using for whatever reason. Apologies around the board, but the fact of the matter is there is no gray. And we had Alex Brown here last week saying there should be some gray because things aren't handled necessarily as well as it could be. You're deep involved in the league. Is it proper how it's being handled and administrated throughout the course of the National Football League?
Well, it's been agreed upon by the National Football League and the Players Association. So it is what it is. You know, the rules are in place. You want to change the rules in the next CBA, that's fine. Go change the rules. They're there now. There's no excuse to break them. You know, it's just either, you know, carelessness or I don't
know.
So
it is black and white to you. Is it
right now? It's black and white.
Well, you know, the loss of income to some of these guys is so overwhelming in the amount of money they're losing. It's not something they're doing to trying to challenge the system. It's just a mistake that they're making either by some of their advisors or just not taking the proper course of action and what they're putting in their body.
Carelessness is the word.
It is, because none of these guys are willing. In football, your financial opportunities are so fragile. These guys aren't willing to give up the amount of money they're losing when they face these PED suspensions. So I do think it's carelessness, but it would be better if the NFL could be more helpful in terms of every single outside substance other than food, if there's an evaluation of what it is and the ramifications you could face if you are tested positive for something they don't agree with. You know, you gotta help these guys, and you gotta make sure that, you know, they just have more responsibility.
Well, I guess the best advice is, other than being on it as a player, less is more. If you have any question, just bag it. It's not worth it. Not worth it to your team. You're hurting your team. You're not worth it to your pocketbook, especially big money guy like Alshon.
Well, if they can have a doctor on the sideline that tells you that you have a concussion, then there should be somebody in your training room that, look, I'm going to start taking this. Am I okay? And then there's a responsibility between, okay, I'm going to Dan Pompey to tell me it's okay. Then the responsibility is on more than just the shoulder of the players. There's a guy inside the locker room that's giving me that advice.
You know, the other thing, there is an app that all the players have access to on their phones that they can punch in whatever supplement that they want to take, and it will tell you if it is banned or not banned or okay to take. There's an 800 number they could call. So they have options. And like I said, I just don't think there's any excuse for it.
Dan wrote an unbelievable article about Mrs. Virginia McCaskey recently in The Athletic. And it was very thorough. You had time spent with her. We know her very well, being with the team as long as you have and as I have in my role. And just a remarkable lady, uniquely humble, and somebody you admire that you get to know. Not everybody does get to know Mrs. McCaskey, but always a smile on her face and a passion for this game and this team that is so unique. And what else did you learn if the folks at home didn't get a chance to read the article? It was very thorough.
Well, really enjoyed the interview, one of my all-time favorites, and what a special lady she is and what an incredible history. I mean, she has been there in the front row for the National Football League's entire life almost, since the 1920s to the present, and has seen everything. One of the things that really stood out to me, which you alluded to yourself, is the personal relationships that she has had with everyone. And I'm sure, you know a lot about that from your time as a player as well as your time as a broadcaster. But she, she told stories about having Bill George's mother make her an Afghan and playing with Link Lyman's daughters. And, there are stories about this with her and players and coaches and support people from every era. And after I finished the story and it was published, I got a number of calls and messages from a lot of people who have been Bears or who were part of the staff here at times. And they said, well, I'm really glad you did that story because, I really loved Mrs. McCaskey and I had a special relationship with her, and this happened between the two of us. So, she has not done hardly any interviews in her entire life. I don't believe she's ever done an interview like this where she really sat down and went in depth on a number of issues. So it was really a privilege to talk with her and learn some of these things. You could sit there and talk with her all day.
I think she's the most important female participant in professional football today. But I also think the female audience is probably the most important issue in professional sports, in professional football today. So to have her reflection of her life in the sport, I think it can send the message to the female audience that football needs to attract and show the importance of the game, the importance of it in her life, and just the fun that you can have with it in the memories created over a lifetime.
There's really nobody like her in the NFL. I mean, you think of all the NFL owners,
right?
Nobody close. I mean, Dan Rooney, maybe a little bit, you'd say, has had somewhat of a similar path. But, he has been directly involved in the football operation for a good portion of his life. Obviously, was involved in the great Steelers teams of the 70s. She never thought she was going to be in this position. George Halas obviously was the man until his death. And her brother, Muggs Halas, was supposed to take over the team after George died. But, of course, Muggs died before George. So she ended up in this situation kind of by accident, and she said initially she was kind of scared to death of the whole thing, and she's ended up really valuing and treasuring her time in charge of the Bears.
Someone who embraced history, I mean, a slice of Americana, honestly, because sports, yes. Americana, just the recall, and she's on it, and she's passionate about it, and it does mean a great deal to her every single day what this organization does and how it's reflected in the bigger scheme of the National Football League.
I mean,
what a great person.
Every game she's taking notes by hand. Nowadays, you can hear the pecking of a computer by every writer in the sports world. But it would be great to see her information, the way that she sees the games and the different events that have come across her eyes in her lifetime. I think it would be unbelievable, and it's great that you were able to have the respect that you got. You were able to tell the story.
Always a smile on her face, too.
Yeah.
The one nugget in your story that caught my attention was the next man up.
Yes.
If you can explain that a little bit. She does not like that term.
She doesn't like the term because she feels it's kind of a cold, harsh term that treats players like objects. And she said, you know, I really think that we should, when a player is injured, do everything we can to help him, both physically and emotionally, get back on the field and worry about his welfare. And, she's very sensitive about those kinds of things. Obviously, she's interested in the concussion issue and wants to see that develop in such a way that players are treated better in the future than they were in the past.
Very good story. Very good story. Okay, Tennessee Titans are next. Soldier Field Sunday. Let's look at a matchup. Give me a matchup that you guys are concerned with from a Bears perspective, or one that they can exploit to the Tennessee Titans. Tom, we'll start with you.
Just the athleticism and the versatility of Marcus Mariota. In two of the last 3 weeks, they're going to face the two top quarterbacks picked in the last year of the NFL draft. And I think both of these guys play with a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of athleticism. Jameis Winston's a little bit different than Marcus Mariota. So it's going to take a really difficult concentration by the defense, because every single time he's willing to hand the ball off or throw it downfield, there's always the threat of him running the ball. So again, you take a young guy that is attacking the end of the season with such great enthusiasm because it's just the beginning of a 10, 15-year career. Man, it's difficult for a team that's struggling to play against a guy that's playing with such great enthusiasm.
Yeah, he's a good young player. But I'll say this, you know, it's not even going to matter what Mariota does unless you contain DeMarco Murray, who has been maybe the second-best running back in football this year. And the Bears are going to have to try to do that without Joelle Freeman, maybe without Eddie Goldman again. We don't know about his status. And, that's the key to the game. You're going to have to slow him down a little bit, prevent him from running you over and making it easy for Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, they run a third most times in the National Football League by percentage, so they're not afraid to run the football. Since you guys took two of the big thunder spots, I'm going to say on the defense, they have – Dick LeBeau still running the system there, so be ready for a variety of unique zone blitzes. Their nickel and dime packages are very intense and complex, and they've got an outstanding player that probably doesn't get a ton of attention, although he went to the Pro Bowl last year, in Jarrell Casey. This guy must be blocked. He can wreck a day for you at that defensive line position in their 3-4.
But, you know, one thing about the Bears, C.J. Wilson came in last week to take up for Eddie Goldman and Will Sutton, played really well, played with great strength, hit the quarterback a couple times, really hard hits. And then you got a guy like John Timu. Every day he comes to practice waiting in the wings to put on his shoulder pads and his jersey to go out and play. Maybe he'll get the opportunity to play for Jarrell Freeman, and I expect John Timu to come out there and play with the same enthusiasm we saw him finish the season last year in Minnesota. So, you know, it's not about the guys who aren't going to be here. It's always about the guy who's going to come up and get an opportunity to play. And I want their enthusiasm to spill over in the locker room and out onto the game field.
You'll see Nick Kwiatkowski as well.
Yes.
And, heck, maybe even Christian Jones. All hands on deck right now. As Tom and I talked about on the plane ride home, right now, given the situation, it's clearly a snake-bitten locker room right now in terms of issues and injuries. I don't care who you are. You better be ready to play the moment you get on that practice field Wednesday, because you might start Sunday.
Can you play middle linebacker?
I have the attitude.
You're next.
The attitude.
I'm
a bulldog.
He's a bulldog.
I'll hit you maybe once, and that'll be the end of it. Thank you very much, Dan Pompey. Right. Check out all his work, his collections, at danpompey.net.
You got it.
And he is a Hall of Fame writer and a Hall of Fame guy. One of my good friends right here. Thank you for joining us. Dan Pompey, for Tom Thayer, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for watching, everybody.